Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 263, part 2, the conclusion to Foundation. Today is Sunday, October 21st, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
And so we must not forget the less visible. Every time, Marty, that you look at that building, you're going to think of the hard work that you had to do in digging out that trench and putting that foundation in there. Why do you think this building here is standing after all these years? And there's no pitch in it at all. Go on down inside of them tunnels down there, and they got a foundation that's... it's this wide. It's like 36 inches of solid concrete that goes deep into the ground. Some builder knew what he was doing. And so when you're saved and you're, the foundation is Jesus Christ, do you think you're going to stand? Do you think somebody's going to shake you off that foundation? Or some wind of affliction is going to blow you off? Or some storm of trial or tribulation or fire of a furnace will cause you to crumble? No. No, it's a personal election to each person. And I got to say that it's a personal election. Jesus saving you is none of my business. How he did it, when he did it, how long it took. Because you see, the Bible says it's an everlasting covenant, unchanging in purpose, an infallible oath of our God: I will save you and I'll never let you go. And so the earth was amazed at Solomon's foundation and building. But the angels, it says, are amazed at God's foundation. It says that they stood in awe. But just think of that. God's redemption is personal to each one of us. You see, when a person gets real personal with you is when they start to attack your personal salvation. That would be like coming up to someone in the flesh and saying, you do not exist. Well, you can say it all you want to. They're still there. They're still breathing, and they're still functioning, and they're still seeing, and they still have feelings and all of that. And sometimes we even treat people in the natural like they have no feelings, like they are nothing, like they're zilch, zero. Well, you can certainly not do that with people in the Spirit when God has saved them with a personal election and He saved them by His divine grace and His love and mercy and forgiveness. Let me tell you something. There's no way you can attack a person and say, you are not born again. I mean, that's how you're going to have to come on in the end. And they might even call it holiness. Holiness is humbleness. Humbleness is knowing that you, if it wasn't for the foundation, nobody would stand. Are you hearing this? Now, when God saved us, it was no superficial work. And I mean to say, the building of His grace in our souls is no old lean-to. But a building that hath, it says in the Bible, foundations. Look back at God's early dealings with you. Before you even knew Him. Now you don't know that until after you know Him. But after you know Him, you know that He really knew you from the beginning of time, because everything happened in your life for a purpose. The good and the bad and all of it, okay? He says, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Your experiences, I'm saying, in your ungodly state were made to lay a foundation. Isn't that leaving hope for everybody out there? Isn't that laying hope for the homosexual and for the prostitute and for the perverted and for the murderers and all of those folks? We all could be the same ourselves, but for the grace of God, there go I. Now, all those things happen to you in your life for the higher work of grace in your hearts. You'll be surprised in the end. Those that thought they were going to be first are going to be last, and those that thought they would be last will be first. Maybe it'll be some of them pink-faced babies that get up and they've never been through any kind of a trial in their life. And they can get up and minister so articulate in their ministry of legalism that might just be last. And maybe everything on all those works of words, no, really no action behind them, but works of words will be burnt off, and yet they shall be saved. No, I think there is a higher, the deeper we go, and a lot of people, and maybe there's a murderer listening to me out there at Stillwater Prison, or maybe in a prison in Africa someplace. I don't know where the tape will all go, where it'll end up. God only knows. That God caused a lot of things to happen in your life, a real deep thing for a higher building. In other words, the deeper you were in sin, and the more that had to be dug out, the heavier duty the foundation is. For a higher building, for a higher calling. And so grace was operating in us all before we even knew God. And so people so flippantly say, "Do you know the Lord?" Maybe they know the Lord like you never knew the Lord, because they've been through some hellish things in their life. I'm talking hellish. Huh? I'm talking about bums down there on Skid Row. I'm talking about the prostitute. I'm talking about all these people that Jesus Christ sat with that openly would admit that they were sinners because God done a deep work in their life. World says, "How low can you go?" Well, God will go down into hell. And you go to hell, God will be there. That's how low. How low will you go to save a person? I'll go all the way down. I'll come from heaven and I'll come down. I'll seek you out first. I know your heart. They don't know your heart, but I know your heart. It says that we were shaped and formed in our mother's womb. Now that grace was operating in you before you knew God. Conviction of sin before you even knew God. You were convicted when you were a little kid and you did something wrong. What convicted you? What made you feel guilty? He had to outdig that old foundation. And for some of us, it took years and years and years. And there were many delays. I know in my life there was a lot of delays. A lot of work stoppages. Maybe we even went on strike at times. But a trench was dug in my soul. And God kept on negotiating and talking and pleading. And then all of a sudden out went my supposed merits. Out went my knowledge. Out went my good resolve. Out went my self-sufficiencies. You know, God dug so deep, I felt like he had dug a grave. And he says, "Exactly. Do you feel like there's nothing left? I had to dig so deep that you thought it was a grave." And little did I know then that this was the plan. That my old nature would die. Go into the ground and die, the Bible says. And oh, I thought back of what a desolate feeling that was. I was half in the church and half wanting to be out there. It was sort of like that call of the wild. Remember that old dog story where, and at the end, then this she-wolf was out there. I'm, and this dog was looking back and forth, and it didn't know whether to go with Clark Gable or, I don't know who the character was, but it was Clark Gable in that movie, and it was going back and forth, and he didn't know which way to go. That's the kind of dog I was. God, I have to admit it. That's the kind of dog we all are. And every once in a while, we hear that old train whistle out there. You just want to take off. You just want to go out on the highway and get gone. But there's something there that holds you, and it's a foundation. And the deeper God had to go to dig out the old pilings and the old foundation, glory. Boy, you don't want to leave. You just say, "No, that call of the wild, you can blow your whistle all you want to. You old freighters out there, you can sound off too. Bonk! I'm not going back to that old country. I'm going to stay right here. Toot! I'm not going to go. Blow all you want to." And so God dug so deep. I said I felt like he had dug me a grave, and that's exactly what he did. Then I had to face my own sinfulness. I really had to face it. I had a new nature and there was a light on the inside. And I really had to take a good look at myself. I thought, what have I allowed in my life? I certainly am miserable and wretched and poor and exposed. God, I'm exposed. Now, I had to know there was no good thing in me. How did I know that? Because I was in so much sin. And I thought to myself, how can this possibly help my upbuilding and my comfort in salvation? All of this, it's crowding in on me. And then all of my visible strength vanished. And for a point there in my life, I felt like a total zero. And that's where God wanted me to be. A total zero. And I tell you, folks, it's a desolate feeling, but that's where we all have to come to. And the salvation message is finding out we are a total zero. And then we start on the right foundation. If there's a particle of self, God ain't going to build on it. And yet it is so. If the Lord means to build high, He digs deep. If you're going to amount to anything at all, He's going to dig and He's going to root and He's going to pull all our tree roots out and He's going to get all the stones out of the way and He's going to dig deep, deep, deep if He's going to put you on a high place. And you might be in a high place down there on Skid Row. You don't know what kind of work you might cause right there. It isn't a work that's always seen of man. And so if He means to give great grace, he gives deep consciousness of the need of it. God has to give you a whole lot of grace. He has to make you conscious of the fact that you really need it. God knows that I know that I need a great amount of grace. I need it. I beg for it and I ask to be filled with grace and I ask to be filled with mercy. And you know what? That'll keep me so busy I won't have time to get into myself all the time. And so then our conviction of sin, even though painful and humbling, I believe are a very needful part of our edification in righteousness. We all need that. But you see, before this, we were being worked out and worked on in secret, weren't we? Nobody knew about it. We knew about it. Before that we even knew anything about God, we were being worked on. Some of the greatest works in your life is before that you received Jesus Christ. God was working on you. He was working on you in the bar. He was working on you in situations in your life. And He was working on you. And it was all in secret. It was between you and God. And so then people will come up, when were you saved? Do you know the exact date? Well, I know God has been working on me since the day I was born and before that because He formed me in my mother's womb. See, salvation is of the Lord alone. And the rest is your witness of receiving Jesus Christ. Isn't it? How many know that God was working on you a long time before you even knew Him? It was unseen. It was the underground work. It was the digging. God was digging, 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 digging. Now that's a lot of work to put in a foundation, especially where someone needs a whole lot of grace and they need a whole lot of digging and they need a firmer ground and you got to dig. Hey, I'm saying God cares. Now, anyway, how would you like to show the world all your old pilings that God had to dig out? Now, I'm talking to everybody out there, no one excluded from the very spiritual so-called to the so-called nincompoops. Everybody. All I have to say is what grace and what mercy. Anyway, would you like to have a rummage sale on what was found in your heart? All the stuff that had to be thrown out for a garage sale, would you want it out there on the table? Seen a car today and it had a sign on there, "Beware, this car stops for all rummage sales." Now maybe you have been honored in public. Maybe you're an evangelist on TV or a radio personality, or you go all over. So now you must be whipped in private, lest you glory in the flesh. Hey, a full boat of fish will cause you to sink. You must be humbling yourself by yelling out, "Help, I'm sinking!" No, I think great mercies are great humblers of sincere souls. See, if you have gone down in proportion as God has gone up with you, we know we got something going. Now, it's got to go deeper in you. Sometimes you feel like God has just written everything on you. Well, I'm right back where I started from, right here in my own backyard. I've been to the east and I've been to the west. Finally, I've come, lonely at heart, right back where I started from. I haven't grown one inch. Ah, but the foundation is deeper, and now we can start to really build. And I think right now that the Church of Jesus Christ, God is checking out that foundation. And everything that will be shaken will be shaken. And those things that are going to come down are going to come down. And those things that are going to be burnt up are going to be burned up. And after all, it's so simple. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth to yourself if you can't admit it to anybody else. And just be truthful with yourself and be truthful with man. And that's all God. A simple, simple message. Just be yourself. Don't try to pretend. Don't get into pretense. Be yourself. A person asked me last week, said, "Do you call that being Christian? You got mad." I says, "Yeah, well, right now I'm a mad Christian." She says, "You mean to say that Christians get mad?" I said, "Well, look at you. You don't look too content." She had to stop and think about it. Something had upset her. And so she upset somebody else. And I says, "Dear, all I can say is that we are sinners saved by grace. And that's all you're ever going to be." And I says, "Don't go home and feel bad about blowing up. Because after all, you're just a sinner saved by grace. And if you feel bad about blowing up, it's because people seen you. They heard you shout and yell and carry on. And you're afraid they might say, 'Do you call yourself a Christian?' Just like what you said to me. But we really don't care, do we? We're just sinners saved by grace." That satisfied her. See, maybe she even learned something there. I mean, we are not going to be perfect. Stop looking for a utopia. Stop looking for a rose garden down here. And stop looking to be like so-and-so's group or this group or I'm of this persuasion or that persuasion. And be persuaded to God that you are a sinner saved by grace. And for some strange, unknown, mysterious reason, He's using our vessels to be filled with mercy when most times in the flesh we're mad all the time. But God gives us mercy. That's just the truth of it, isn't it? Well, isn't it? Oh, no, but that can't be. I mean, we've got to grow, and I have attained, and all of this. No. You keep yourself at the very simple, humble level. That means you're always looking on to the Lord. Now, that's going to keep you humble. Because, see, now you've got something to measure yourself against, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't keep account of your sin. Now, that's wonderful. I mean, who would want to keep account of your sins anyway? I mean, you keep 15 bookkeepers busy night and day. Laser computers would be able to keep up with you. That goes for everybody listening on the radio. And I hope some of these snurds, that's a new one, snurds, hear this tape. Kind of like that one, didn't you? But anyway, would you like a rummage sale on what comes out of your heart. All our chastenings, all of our humblings, all of our searchings of our heart have been a private laying of foundations for higher things. Every trial, every tribulation, every chastening, every humbling has been a private laying of foundations for higher things. Isn't that wonderful? And I think I can say yes, and the Lord has done much more in this unseen, this very affectionate way He has of dealing with us, where He doesn't show everybody everything. He just doesn't get everybody in on everything. He just starts digging out all the old pilings. He just has done with them. Doesn't make an open show of you or anything like that. Isn't that great? Isn't that Christ-like? He has given instruction, the Bible says. He has given revelation, the Bible says. He has sanctified the fellowship. See, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord. That's where we miss it. No one has seen what the Lord has done in you. We don't know a man's heart. But without this, you could have not been built up in holiness and usefulness unless God first would have dug for that foundation. I just thank God that He works the greater wonders of His love in the dark, out of sight. His light shineth out of the darkness. Where is that? In you. Bible says, His light shineth out of the darkness, and that's where He does His most of His works, is in the darkness of our very being. Out of sight. And yet the foundation is the most crucial, the most important part of the building. And so the secret humbling processes of grace have a valve. You can't imagine it. No, I'm saying that the people, that this indwelling of God in your temple, God is the one that erects the temple in you, that which He indwells. And so it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. And so the Lord brings those great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And so this must be our method also. We must build this way in our own life, begin the good, solid doctrine. I think that some people get into 30 different kinds of gospels. There's only one kind of gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never think that you have taken a hold of the truth I'm saying here till it has taken a hold of you. Don't worry about the truth. The truth can take care of itself. Now, hey, when the truth is revealed, sometimes it is so startling. Sometimes we are busy pointing our fingers at someone. Sometimes we are busy talking about some. Sometimes we're, you know, and we're busy with all this. But when the truth is revealed, it's a shocker. See, God isn't dealing with that person through you. He's dealing with that person personally, and He'll deal with you personally. Just like when you have your kids come in and they tattletale too much. And you just get sick of listening to them. Oh, I don't blame Junior for hitting you on the head. I think I want to hit you on the head too. Huh? You ever kids do that? Yeah, look what they did! Yeah! And you look out the window and they're out there smiling away, you know. Huh? After you got your head caved in, see? No, it's the same way with God. God doesn't want you ninny-nanny, ninny-ing, and running up there, tattletaling all the time. Take care of yourself. Mind your own business. Well, I didn't do nothing. You go in your room too, you snitch. Tired of all of you, my mother used to say. Tired of the whole tribe. To your rooms. When General Windmill said, to your rooms, we scattered, I tell you. Now, the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses watching us. I know my mother's watching. No, I've learned a lot from her. One thing I really have to say I learned from her is don't lose your sense of humor. See? Don't lose it, because if you lose your sense of humor, you lose it. You can go, you know, you can go totally insane if you have no humor in you at all. I mean, totally, you could. Just totally blow it. Be sitting in some mental ward looking at a wall. You know, there's a lot of Christians like that. Someone told them they aren't going to make it, and they're sitting up in mental wards. Huh? Do you believe that? I used to go over here to the mental wards. I can tell you right now, and they're walking down the halls, weirdos, quoting scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. And they're reading their Bible, walking back and forth. Pretty sad, ain't it? What foundation were they built upon? What mercy and what grace was shown those people, methinks, something went wrong. And so much has to be done in private with us in the matter of mastering our sin. Don't share all of your inward conflicts with everybody. That's between you and God. Close the doors and close the windows, plug up the keyholes, and have it out alone, God helping you. Because you'll never attain to a holy life unless you have secret conflicts with sin. Secret. God's grace, I'm saying, is an artesian well, always welling up, always clearing out your vessel. Bible says, don't build out of stubble, straw, and hay, wooden sticks. Lay great stones, costly stones, and huge stones. Have solid friends. Oh, how I appreciate solid friends. Bible said, or the song, or whatever, what a friend we have in Jesus. When you have someone that's so Christ-like that they're a great friend, what a precious thing that is. To have that friend. I'm not seeing a lot of friendly things out there, are you? In the Christian community? I think we should go for godliness and aim at godliness. Are you hearing this message tonight? I think every church that's listening here, let's learn how to check out our foundations. Let's learn how to dig out and have the Lord dig out those things or those trees that are trying to cut in on the foundation. And I think we need to get back to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh God, how we need to get back to that. Ooh, how we need to get back to the grace and the mercy. How we need to release people from all their fears. I think Solomon didn't want to worry or have the fear and the worry about the building coming down, so he made sure it was a firm foundation. I think also before we open our mouths or before we build any kind of conversations or any kind of a building, that we should be very careful that we won't have to go to bed with that fear and that worry that it might fall down. I think there's a lot of empires out there right now that are on very shaky ground. Very, very shaky ground, because there is no mercy shown, there is no forgiveness shown, and the Bible says, whatsoever that ye sow, so also shall ye reap. And in the manner that you mete it out to others, so shall it be met out to you. And so the Bible says, if we'll give mercy, God will be merciful to us. And if we will be those peacemakers, God said, blessed is the peacemakers. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, not wrongiousness. No, I mean, a lot of things I'm seeing right now is wrongiousness. And people are hungering and thirsting after wrongiousness. I mean, what's right with people? Don't always worry about what's wrong with people. What's right with people? What good works have they done in God? I think that he that builds well for eternity will escape a thousand fears. I think doubts and fears are often born of a knowledge. Of a knowledge, I should say, of something undone. Have you ever not completed something? Or you're driving a car, you think you should have done this or that to it, and you know it's about ready to blow? Huh? And you have that fear because you have a knowledge of something that you should have done and didn't do. Is there someone out there, and you listening on the radio, is there someone out there that you have undone and you know that you shouldn't have done that? Now you have the fear that goes with that kind of action. Something undone. Something undone. Your vessel is wrong. Your foundation is wrong. And it certainly will not stand. And so you won't sleep. And you won't eat. And you won't be able to function. Because there's a fear. That fear of something that's undone in your life. I think we need then to build upon the rock and allow God to dig. Allow the Holy Spirit to search. I'm talking about a personal thing now. I'm not talking about someone with so-called great discernment. You know, it's easy to have great discernment because if you know yourself, you know just about any other scoundrel around. Come on now. No, let the Holy Spirit search and allow God's fire to try things. This is the end now. Every man's work, it says, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. No matter where we build, it's saying, nor how we build, fire will come. And so the wood, stubble, and straw builders cry out, please, no fire over here. Oh, there's a lot of people right now are crying, don't put fire over here. No, there's attackings going on here and there, and everybody's hurrying up and attacking this because they're afraid that fire might come over on their stubble, straw, and hay. No, don't send fire over here, God. I'm not insured against it. Why aren't you? Oh, it costs too much. It would cost too much of my life. I didn't want to give it all. So I gave the stubble and the straw and the hay. And isn't this beautiful in the scripture? It says in God's grace, and it says that he makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. And it says even though that they build out of stubble, straw, and hay, all will be burned as if by fire, and yet they shall be saved. Glory to God, isn't that wonderful? What a message. What a message. Build on God's foundation. Build on Jesus Christ, and it will not be moved. Amen. It will not be moved. This is a simple message and a simple gospel, but it's so deep that you can't get under it, and it's so wide that you can't get around it, and it's so high that you can't get over it. No, I think we should never weary of ministering the gospel, and that's where we've went wrong, is getting into a whole lot of other things outside of the gospel. And it wasn't the foundation, after all, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's all coming out now, isn't it? It says it all come out in the wash, God's wonderful wash, and he says that I'll present you without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And it's all being washed out and it's all being handled and it'll all turn out to good. And for God's sakes, we need to really pray that God fill our vessels. First of all, dig out anything, Lord, and build a really good foundation to what we're doing and to what we're saying and to any situation that's talking about. And Lord, use us then as the vessels of mercy. Foundations. Glory, how we need to hear a message like that. How we need to just be built on that. Doesn't that give you strength? When you know that you're rooted and grounded and that God's foundation is holding you up? Well, what can defeat you then? I told a person here just today, he says, "Well, brother, you mean there's only about 50 people that come to your church on Sunday?" I says, "Yes." Well, she says, "What happened to all those people?" I says, "They drifted out. They were driftwood. They just drifted out the door. Because they were not mission-minded people." That's all I can say about it. They just were not mission-minded people. You ever have a kid that didn't want to do something you had to try to make him do? It's more work sometimes trying to get people to work than if you did it yourself. It really is. I mean, I have had people down here I've had to chase around. "Where's so-and-so?" And then, "I don't know, I seen him over there." And then you go over there. "Where's so-and-so?" "Oh, I don't know, I seen him over there. He was up there, he's over there. He went that way, he went around the block and so on." Finally, you just, "You know what? I spent the whole day looking for you. Who do you think I am, Bo Peep? Hey, get lost. I can't be chasing you all over the place." Right. I mean, if somebody does not want, Mick, you know yourself, if somebody does not want to do it, if they want to go in the restroom and lay their head against the toilet paper roll and read magazines and come out there with that great big imprint on their head, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? What do they call that soft stuff that don't touch the Charmin tissue thing on their head? They want to, you know, you just walk in and say, "Knock on, excuse me in there. I got your pink slip. In fact, here's three of them," and shove them under the door and say goodbye. You know what I mean? They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. Now, what more can you say? And then I said, and furthermore, I said, "Sister," and they were showing these films. I said, "Furthermore," I said, "just think of that. A lot of our churches, we say, 'Oh, yes, we have missionaries in Africa.' Do you realize how big Africa or China or India is and all the millions of people there are? And we have two people over there." And I said, "For the most part, you know what they're doing over there? Slapping tsetse flies. I mean, they haven't got time for anything but just taking care of their self." And we say, "Oh, yes, we have missionaries here," and we put these little stickers. "We have them in China and Africa and this and over here." Wouldn't it be better to train some of those people that are over there and give them the cash and the funds to do the thing themselves? These people, a lot of them don't want to be over there anyway. They're miserable. Did you know that? I mean, you'd be better off to take that cash and that money and give it to an organization that's taking care of them people over there and come home and take care of your own place. Does that make sense? It does to me. Maybe it's because I don't want to go to any of those faraway places. I don't know. I have no desire at all to go to those places. I mean, I feel like I'm suffering enough here. I don't want to go over there. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight, and I want to thank you for these people. I want to thank you for this great mission that you've given us here on the north side and all the abundance that you've given us here to share with your people out there. Lord, those people that you have chosen before the foundation of the world, that we cannot judge and we cannot look down our nose because you are working on them. And all we are to do is to present the gospel to them. You have made them ready. When they receive, they have been made ready by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, you don't want us, I know, not to give them a whole lot of teachings. And, repent and all this kind of thing. And just say, "Are you ready to receive the Lord?" And if they're ready, they'll just, you know, folks, what they'll do? If they're ready, they'll say, "Yes," and they'll put their hands out. God has made them ready. These people have been through deep diggings and sufferings and all kinds of things, and God has made them ready. And then we come up with some stupid kind of thing like that. You know what I mean? Just offer Christ. Don't get into a whole lot of theology, and don't get into, you know, Noah's Ark and the belly of the whale and how much you know, and lay your hands on people. And I discern God wants you to be saved. You don't discern nothing. You just ask Him. You're to ask people. You're not supposed to show them how smart you are or how you wear your spiritual gowns or you're a servant of God or whatever. Like, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear about you. I'm sorry, they don't want to hear about you. I have to quit because I'll get into a whole new message here. Bless these people in the mighty name of Jesus. Who's going to sing tonight?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 263. That was part two to Foundation. If you missed part one, you can go to Pastor Paul's blog. It's at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes. And within those show notes are scripture links. So be sure to check those out. You can listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Be sure to join us next Friday. Pastor Paul's message is Law. Have a great week. We'll see you back here. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Maybe living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.